Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so who here has watched videos of animals doing funny things? Or cats outsmarting their humans? Or who here lives with a cat that outsmarts you on a day-to-day basis? Or how about that video of goats screaming in Taylor Swift songs? Or watched any number, okay, maybe that was just me then. If not, I think it's hysterical, therefore you should as well. Or watch any number of animal shows and or documentaries. So who here has ever gone to the home of someone else, or perhaps even come home to a pet, and found yourself unable to resist the temptation but to sit down and halt whatever conversation you were having because of the joy that that animal suddenly brings to you, literally stopping a conversation? I have as well. This integral bond, this joy of an animal companion, actually reminds me of the His Dark Materials trilogy by Philip Pullman, where in The Golden Compass, Lyra, our protagonist, as well as every human in that world, is born with a familiar of sorts, as referred to by the Celts, an animal partner, a daemon, as they are referred to in the book. And this animal partner is constantly changing form until eventually settling on one that means something to or represents something about the individual. And there is this mystical bond between the animal companion and the person. And this mystical bond is one that others in the book try to manipulate, put to the test, and in many cases, for the pursuit of power, literally sever the bond between the daemon and the youth. This experience is traumatizing both for the children and for their former animal partners. From what I recall from this series is that this experience is a death of sorts. It's a death of sorts for the animal companion and the person who must live without connection, without being seemingly inextricably linked to each other. That eternal, mystical, unexplainable bond destroyed, and an essential part of their identity is missing for the rest of their lives. Who is familiar with the Harry Potter series? Okay. So who can guess where I might be going with this next? I see one hand over there. The Patronus, a charm used to repel what are called the Dementors. An individual summons the Patronus, an animal representative made of pure light that repels these beings of apathy and emptiness. Dementors are literally the embodiment of the absence of love, of hope, of courage. They are worse than being evil, as they are indifferent. And yet, it is with the power of the animal made light that repels and protects those around them from the vast emptiness and the absence of all that is human and all that is kind and good in the world. That experience of the animal protector, the embodied light of joy in our lives, feels like that moment when we realize, especially with the loss of one of our animal protectors, how essential to the family that these pets are. How many of us have had animal protectors, as I'll call them, that have been with us through deaths, that have been with us through the losses of relationships, losses of jobs, life transitions, broken hearts, divorces, or moving? How many of us have had pets, animal protectors that have moved across country or perhaps even across the world with us? How many of us recognize that we couldn't have made it through these experiences in our lives without the support of that beloved trust entrusted to our care? The beloved whom trusted us and whom we covenanted with to provide companion with and share in this journey. I like to think that this relationship with a beloved pet, this covenant we have made with another creature, is the same covenant that God consecrated when she called Adam and Eve to have dominion over creation back in Genesis. not to rule creation with an iron fist, but to care for it, to tend to it, to nurture it, to sustain it, to be in covenant with creation as God was and is in covenant with us, to nurture, to care for, to tend to, and to sustain us. Yet, when we broaden the connection with the flora and fauna beyond our particular worlds, beyond our particular homes, it feels like we've lost something of our connection to them. We've lost our connection with the greater flora and fauna also entrusted to our care and to our tending. For those that garden, have you ever sat down, gotten really close to the pot of that ridiculously tall but non-fruit-producing tomato plant that it is in, and maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, but stood by that pot and started staring at the dirt? Have you ever gotten close enough to see the tiny little insects that are moving with some mysterious purpose around the dirt? Or heard them buzzing around? Have you ever felt the tiny silky webs of those teeny tiny spiders that have made life between those leaves of those plants? Have you ever wondered how on earth they know how to do this? What is it about instinct and about creation that places these creatures in the right times and at the right places to help nurture, nourish, and sustain the covenant of creation? That plants and animals have worked together to provide the nutrients for the other to survive. And we realize in that moment, that holy moment of pause, that the cycle and the circle is a lot shorter than we initially thought. A couple of days ago, I was walking through Al Sabo Trail. I caught sight of a blue jay, and I stopped in my tracks. Blue jays, to me, are one of the most beautiful birds, but I know that they are ferociously territorial. And this jay was hopping from branch to branch to branch, clearly looking for something, checking things out, but I couldn't figure out what. So standing there, still, watching, trying not to make a sound, bearing witness to the covenant of creation and finding that holy pause. Or P-A-W-S, as I put it, because I love a good pun and a play on words. Deal with it. How often do we notice that beautiful screech of a blue jay? Or the tiny insects working in the dirt to help our gardens grow big, nutrient-rich fruit? How often do we stop and literally, like paint drying, watch plants grow? How often do we stop in creation to bear witness to its covenant? How often do we stop to think about how we too, as human beings, are creatures in God's covenant with creation? That we too have a particular role to play, to tend to and care for, nurture and sustain this incredible abundance of life that we are connected to. Why is it that Pullman lifts up this relationship, this mystical bond between humankind and creature as a place of power? Why is it that in Harry Potter that it is the creature that fends off the emptiness? Why is it that when we go to a family member or a friend's home and find out that they have a dog or a cat, we are powerless but to stop and quiet ourselves? Why is it that a sense of joy bubbles up when we see goats running around and jumping off things and falling over? Why do stories of dogs acting as surrogate mothers for cheetahs make me tear up from time to time? Why is it that when we garden, we pause with a greater sense of the holy, giving thanks for the food that we eat? Why is it that Jesus uses the example of the raven and the lily not worrying about this or that or what they will wear or what they will eat, but simply focus their energies on their jobs as connectors and gifts to the now moment of creation? You heard the words of the psalmist who cries out for joy that God cares for this world and has provided all that we need, all that the world needs. Yet it requires work from us to maintain and sustain and to do the work of caring for this incredible world. It requires the labor of tending to the plants and a work of patience and other creatures and caring for and tending to other creatures that God has entrusted to our care. Jesus' words in Luke for us today is a critical message. Jesus is criticizing us for where we have placed our focus and our energies. Jesus is calling us out for focusing too much on the possessions of want and not of caring for what we already have and where we are now. Jesus is also pointing out that we are not better than the rest of creation, but we are an essential part of it. We are tenders to the garden. We are called to help the garden to flourish, helping to sustain and grow as equal parts and an equal relationship with creation. But we are creatures in creation with a role to play, much as those tiny insects purposefully moving among the dirt, and much as the giant whales purposefully swimming through the seas. Is this the kingdom we ought to be striving for? A return to connectedness, a return to createdness, a return to our designed purpose as tenders to the garden. And I realize I'm asking more questions than answering them. But how do we rebuild our relationship with creation? How do we rebuild our relationship with the flora and the fauna, the plants and the animals, in a way that honors the covenant that God has consecrated? It's in answering this question, I believe we will find our way and begin to remember why it is so important to us, why creation is so important to us, and why we must honor our end of the covenant, because we have fallen so far from it. Amen.